Learning the Basics, Lesson 2, Website Vocabulary. Hello, this is Matthew Perosi, founder of the Jeweler Website Advisory Group. The Learning the Basics course is a collection of written and recorded training intended for the absolute beginner. If you just put up a website and really need to figure out what to do and what search engine optimization and search engine marketing is all about, then this course is for you. In its printed form, the Lesson 2 Website Vocabulary is 62 pages long, so we're going to record this lesson as audio in multiple parts. This is part one. In our first lesson, we talked about search engines, how to use them, how the search results were laid out, and introduced some terminology. In this lesson, we'll introduce most of the vocabulary you will encounter while working on your website. In my own continual education, I find that the biggest hurdle for me is to simply learn the new vocabulary terms involved. Indeed, once I fully understand those new words, I'm able to consume the educational material faster. As always, with the Jeweler Website Advisory Group, this lesson will be presented using examples that directly relate to you, the jewelry business owner. The common lexicon within your industry is infused into this training for your ease of understanding. I'll present the vocabulary in alphabetical order, but I'd like to recap the terms you've already heard from us from the previous lesson and one I just used. A few sentences ago, I already used a term which you may not be familiar with. The word was consume. I don't know how many people would say, I consume my dinner, but I've heard many firefighters say it was consumed by the fire. If you look up the definition for the word consume on dictionary.com, you will find seven definitions. The first, which is to destroy or expend by using or using up. The second definition is to eat or drink up, devour. I won't mention the remaining five definitions, but they all refer to using or spending of something. As you begin your education into jewelry websites and marketing for your website, you will hear the word consume used many times. Many educators, including myself, use the word all the time. You see, we don't want you to just read the information we give you. We want you to devour it, pick it apart, and use it immediately for your own purposes. When it comes to your website education or any internet education, everything you read, listen to, or watch is immediately actionable. You should never just read something cover to cover, then refer back to it later. You will never truly learn this internet stuff by sitting through the education in hopes that it is useful later. I would be very insulted if you just sat there, listened to this material without once saying to yourself, is that really true? Let me check that out right now. You can't expect that these words will be remembered unless you take action and force yourself to remember them. Read, listen, take action, and use this education immediately. Go to your computer and check this stuff out now, every step of the way. I feel pretty strongly about this. I firmly believe you can't sit simply through the education course on websites or the internet. You need to consume or use the information right now. I would rather it take you one full day to go through one of our lessons than simply 1 hour to read through it, or in this case, 3 hours to read through it. Speaking of working through a lesson, in the last lesson you were introduced to search engines, how they work, and how they are laid out. While you were going through the lesson, I hope you at least were next to your computer and looked at Google. If not, you may want to go through that again while sitting next to your computer and try the search examples presented in that lesson. Let's get started with our new vocabulary. This is in alphabetical order, except for the first definition. I don't want to use any vocabulary terms in any of my definitions without first explaining them. In fact, I took extra care to write this lesson expecting you would read it in order, or listen to it in order. I did my best to avoid using terms before defining them. As this lesson progresses, I use more and more previously defined terms, so I hope that you will learn this stuff as you read it. So don't jump ahead. If you jump to page 50 right now, you will find yourself swimming with vocabulary sharks, not knowing you could have picked up shark-proof scuba suit just a few pages earlier. I'm not a fan of bite and bump shark attacks, and I never want you to feel anxiety about this website education either. Since this first vocabulary term is pretty common, I need to cover it before all others. Our first term is search engine optimization, or SEO for short. In order to show up in search engines correctly, you need to make sure you follow all current guidelines for how to properly create a website. We have a list of guidelines we publish for jewelry websites. But more important than our own, Google also publishes a list of guidelines for the correct ways to create a website. When you follow these guidelines, it is said that you are search engine optimizing your website. Here's how to use it in a sentence. I need to search engine optimize my website. Or you could say, I need some SEO work done on my website. Another variation, my website is not optimized at all. And final example, I have to hire a genius SEO to optimize my website. As you can see, search engine optimization term can be used as a noun, a verb, or even to refer to a person you hire that does the SEO work for you. Please note that if you build your website from scratch following Google's guidelines, you won't have to optimize the site after it goes live. This is the best approach since you don't have to worry about the initial optimization mistakes. If you do it right the first time, you won't need to waste time and money later to fix it. Although the initial investment might also cost a little more money, it should not cost nearly as much as the cost of fixing it later on. Our next vocabulary word is 202 response. Now, if you're going to say, oh great, he's starting with technical stuff, you'd be correct. Remember, the internet is nothing more than a bunch of computers that talk to each other. They talk in ones and zeros and other strings of numbers and strange characters. As the internet has evolved, many of us tech heads have realized that you guys, the non-techies, need to be shielded from this stuff. You don't need to know what those crazy numbers are called and what they're all about. You just need to know how to use it, have fun, and more importantly, how to make money with the technology. There's always going to be a tech-savvy person around to help you, if you just ask. However, there are still some technical terms that need to punch through that shielding because there's no other way to explain them. The entire family of website codes is part of that technical stuff. Whenever you visit a website, your browser only shows you the nice web page that a designer has created. You don't see the technical stuff that makes it work. Within that technical stuff, all websites transmit a code that indicates the success or failure of a page. The 202 response tells your web browser everything worked correctly and you should display the web page normally. You'll never actually see a 202 anywhere while using the internet or while working on your website. You will only find it within your website tracking. So if you have access to your website statistics, go look this up right now. You should always see that there are more 202 responses on your website than any other. If not, talk to your website guy and ask them to investigate. That's the only reason I told you about the 202. I want you to be able to look at your printout of your statistics and clearly see if your website is broken. The next vocabulary term is the 301 redirect. This is another one of those website codes. Did you know that it was possible to force someone to view a different website than the one they typed into their browser? It would be great if someone could type in BlueNile.com and have all of their traffic directed to your website. Imagine all the traffic you would get and the money you would make that day. Of course, if you're imagining this, then you should also imagine what prison cell feels like because that's where you would end up. Stealing traffic from someone else's website is illegal. Hackers try to steal traffic all the time, and they use redirect technology to do it. However, that is not why I'm mentioning it here. I mention it so you can learn what it is and how to use it for yourself. As I said, you can use a 301 redirect to force someone to view a different website. To say it differently, a different domain name than the one they typed into their browser. In everyday use, why would you want to do this? The most common reason is when you purchase different permutations of your domain name, but yet you want all the visitors to see the same website. For example, the primary domain name of the Jeweler Website Advisory Group is jewelerwebsiteag.com, but we also have the following variations: jewelerwebsiteadvisorygroup.com, jwag.biz, jwag.me, jwag.mobi, and jwag.us. We also have the misspellings of the domain name like these: jewelerwebsitesag.com, jewelrywebsiteag.com, jewelrywebsitesag.com. Again, the correct one is jewelerwebsiteag.com. For each of these alternative domain name versions, we use a 301 redirect to force your web browser to jump to our normal website. The user will always see www.jewelerwebsiteag.com in their browser, regardless of what version they typed in. If you have multiple domain names, it's highly recommended that you use the same technique. Actually, it's highly recommended to purchase multiple domain names for advertising purposes and easy memory retention. It's easier for us to say visit jwag.biz than visit jewelerwebsiteag.com. We found that the words jeweler and jewelry to be interchangeable to most people. In fact, it's pretty frustrating in our own offices when our own employees call us jewelry website rather than jeweler website. If your domain name is difficult to spell, or long, or impossible to remember, then the 301 redirect is going to be your good friend. It would behoove you to find a different domain name and use a 301 redirect to transfer all traffic from the easier domain name to your official domain name. There is another reason to use a 301 redirect, if you ever want to change your domain name completely. A few years ago, I heard about a jewelry store in Ohio who had the same business name as another store in Connecticut. The Connecticut store was trying to legally force the Ohio store to change their name and to change their domain name. If the Connecticut store had won the case, the Ohio store would have been forced to change their domain name and redirect all visitor traffic to the new website, in which case the 301 redirect would have been used. The last example would be if two jewelry stores merge. Sometimes two local competitors will join forces and one of their websites will become defunct. In such a case, you would use a 301 redirect to transfer customers from the defunct website to the surviving website. There is a bit more to the 301 redirect than I'm mentioning here. There remains some magic as to how the search engines view the 301s. For now, let's just say that if you use a 301 redirect, you're telling web browsers and search engines that the old website and the old domain name will never be used again. The 301 is a clue that you should be updating your bookmarks and favorites. Since this course is on the basics, I don't want to get into any more specifics than that right now. Our next vocabulary term is the 302 redirect. Yep, there's another type of redirect other than a 301. This version is used to tell browsers and search engines that we are temporarily telling people to visit another page or domain name. But sometime real soon, this redirect will be removed. In the 301 redirect, I gave examples of two sites merging or two alternative domain names or legal reasons why you'd want to use that feature. These were all permanent reasons to force someone to view a new website, even though they typed in something else. Finding uses for 302 redirect is not so obvious. In fact, only very savvy website owners and our students will ever understand the true power of a 302. Let's say you're holding a trunk show in 2 weeks. You want to make sure that all the visitors of your store read about the trunk show. So you set up a special page on your website, including all the details of the show with wonderful ad copy and beautiful photographs. A finely crafted page that might take all afternoon to put together. How do you direct your traffic to your trunk show page so they can view it all? You could simply put a photo with a link on your homepage. That would certainly do it. All your visitors would definitely click that link on your homepage, right? Wrong. The only way to guarantee all your visitors view your trunk show page is to temporarily turn your trunk show page into your homepage. You can force all visitors clicking on your homepage to go to the trunk show page using a 302 redirect. Effectively, you're disabling your normal homepage while the 302 is in place. The next part is very important. You can use many different techniques to make someone jump from one page to another. You can use a meta tag to do it, and most programming languages have a feature that will redirect one page to another. But only the savvy website owner will make sure that the redirect is using a 302. When Google sees a 302, it will assume you are smart, and it will know what you're doing. So it will keep a record of your homepage, and the redirect will not affect how you are currently listed in the search engine. Google will periodically come back to see if the redirect has been removed. Okay, here's an example. www.jewelrystore.com has a 302 redirect to www.jewelrystore.com/trunkshow. Even if someone clicks the link for the home, they will be redirected back to the trunk show page. You could use this technique for 2 weeks, but I don't recommend much longer than that. Another example is if you want to direct visitors to your latest newsletter. Perhaps you just set up a page for your newsletter and you want to force visitors to see it for a few days. The 302 is perfect for that. One word of caution though, the true success of a 302 is when you use it to go from one page on your website to another page on your website. Do not use it to jump to a different domain name. 302 redirects to different domain names are amateurish mistakes made by inexperienced users and hackers, and Google will assume you are a hacker. Our next vocabulary term is AdSense, otherwise known as Google AdSense. First, let me say, as a jewelry business owner, this is probably not going to benefit you much. AdSense is how you could make some money online by allowing other people to advertise on your website. Naturally, you do not want to allow other people to advertise on your own jewelry store website, but you should use this if you are a writer who frequently publishes your own stuff online on a different website. You could sign up with Google AdSense and allow them to put ads throughout your published writings. And if you are lucky, you can make some extra money every month. Many writers make a very good living with Google AdSense. But unless you're willing to quit your day job, I say not to bother. Our next vocabulary word is AdWords, otherwise known as Google AdWords, pay-per-click, and PPC. If you have a brand new website and need customers overnight, then AdWords is your answer. You can also use AdWords to attract new customers and even test advertising ideas. Google makes most of their money with AdWords, and if you're not careful, you will be contributing a lot of your own money to their monthly profits. At the time of this writing, the AdWords system is currently the best paid online advertising method. It's easy to create an account, create ads, and to pay them. The hope is that you will get lots of customers. Here's how it works. The ads you create can be text ads, video ads, image ads, map ads, and even TV ads. You need to associate your ads with different words that you would like to target. Your ad will appear in front of someone when they type one of those words into a search engine. Your ad will appear on different websites when the information on that website relates somehow to your ad. For example, a few years ago, several news websites reported a loose diamond robbery at an airport in Texas. The ads on that page were all related to jewelry stores and Blue Nile. When Google AdWords appears on a website, they are always listed and identified with the words Ads by Google or Sponsored Links. Unlike traditional advertising that charges you money just to place your ad, with AdWords, you only pay money when someone clicks on your ad. This form of advertising, whereby you only pay after someone clicks, is known as pay-per-click or PPC. AdWords can be very expensive for highly competitive phrases. If you search engagement rings in Google, you will see 14 sponsored links on that page. Four of the top seven ads belong to Blue Nile at a cost of about $1.85 per click. According to Google AdWords estimations, Blue Nile is spending about $1,200 per day for those ads, as of the time of this writing. Do not attempt to set up your AdWords on your own without first talking to a consultant or taking some classes. You will lose your shirt. Our next vocabulary term is analytics. As people visit your website, they leave behind a footprint. In fact, they leave behind an entire trail of footprints. Every page they view, every link they click, and every product they read about creates a footprint. These footprints are saved in a file somewhere hidden on your website. But don't try to read that file. It would be impossible to comprehend because it's a bunch of numbers, codes, and file names. This is perhaps the most valuable part of your website, but in order to understand the value, you need to process all the information through a program. There are many programs that do this, and popular programs like Webalyzer and AWStats are included with most websites. A really fantastic program is Google Analytics. There's little work to getting Google Analytics set up, so ask your web guy to do it for you. Make time to study and understand your analytics reports. Please don't bother creating a website if you are unwilling to make time to learn this. Our next vocabulary term is authority website. Financial success comes when you achieve some renown in your area of expertise and then figure out how to capitalize on it. Your website will bring many customers and increase sales once it achieves expert or authority status. But how do we do this? It's simple, actually. Add 50 or more pages to your website relating to the topic you want to be an expert in. Yep, 50 or more pages need to be added to your website. Don't try to do this overnight. Do it gradually over time, and when you reach 50 pages, don't stop. Keep adding new pages to your website forever. Since you own a jewelry business, it should be easy to find information to put on your website. Here are some ideas for adding pages to your website, though. Your monthly newsletter. Reviews of the latest merchandise. Information on the latest jewelry trends. And monthly birthstone information. If you want to prove your expertise in a particular topic, you need to consistently put new pages on your site that talk about that topic. but in general, your website will be a collection of various topics all relating to jewelry. Once you have achieved authority, your website will appear in the search engines with a minimum of two listings. Usually the second listing is indented. The indented listed is meant to tell users that the website is important. Only authority websites are indented in search engine results pages. This is Google's way of saying, pay attention to these guys, they know what they're doing. Again, this is a basics course, and there's a lot more to authority than what I'm mentioning here, and we'll cover advanced authority topics at a later time. Our next vocabulary term is black hat. A few unscrupulous people have figured out how to make their website appear in search engines very quickly, using tricks to fool the search engines. Stay away from any method used to trick search engines into believing you have good SEO. We won't usually teach these bad methods, and there are several. They all fall within a category known as black hat SEO. Everyone using a black hat technique will eventually get caught, and their website will be removed from the search engines. Next with our vocabulary, we're going to talk about four terms: blog, blogging, blogger, and articles. I have previously mentioned Google AdSense and how you could make money if you were a writer publishing your stuff online. What I didn't say before is that the process of writing and publishing online is called blogging. The word blog is a portmanteau of the words web and log. In 1997, the process of writing and publishing online was considered a weblog, but then in 1999, it was shortened to just blog. Someone who writes articles and publishes online is called a blogger. Every blogger, of course, needs their own blog. Each time you publish into your blog, it is referred to as an entry, as in a journal entry. One of the original blogging websites is called LiveJournal. They created their name and their system for people who keep daily journals and wanted to publish them online. Although LiveJournal paved the way for many blogging ideas, they have been surpassed by better systems like Blogger.com and the impressively flexible WordPress.com. Since the advent of Blogger and WordPress, we don't refer to your writings as journal entries, but rather as articles. You should have a blog. Every jewelry store owner should have a blog. It's the only place where you can express yourself, your feelings, teach your customers, and occasionally mention products in your store. Never sell through your blog. The only purpose of your blog is to prove to your customers that you know what you're talking about. If done professionally, your blogging will create trust between you and your readers. That trust will translate into sales. Once you become an accomplished blogger with hundreds of articles, you should consider creating a Google AdSense account that allows advertisers to put ads on your blog. The advertising money might only be a few dollars a month, but then again, every penny counts. Our next two vocabulary words are bot and spider. This term is short for robot. It refers to a software program that is designed to read web pages without a human controlling it. Every search engine company has a software program to read and save web pages. These search engine bots are usually called spiders, and it's their job to find all the pages on your website. There are other types of bots too. In my experience, none of them are good. Unless you're a search engine performing a service, there is no other reason to use a bot program other than information theft. There are email bots, which read websites looking for email addresses. There are virus bots that scan the internet looking for websites to deface. There are screen scraping bots that will copy all your information and republish it on their own website. Please stay away from anyone talking about a bot if they are not referring to a search engine. They are probably involved with some shameful practices. Our next vocabulary term is bounce rate. This refers to the percentage of people who leave your website immediately after landing on the first page. Search engines are used by people looking to find an answer. It doesn't matter what the question is, they just need the answer. Will your website answer their question? If not, the user will click the back button in their browser and select the next potential answer. The most basic way I can describe bounce rate is as the measure of how many times your website didn't answer someone's questions and then they left. You can find your bounce rate in Google Analytics. It's a helpful guide to redesigning your website and continually changing website copy. Our next vocabulary term is breadcrumbs. This is a navigation technique provided by some websites. Just like a breadcrumb trail in a fairy tale, the breadcrumbs on a website will show you the names of the different navigation links you clicked on to get to the page you are viewing. You will usually find the breadcrumbs at the top of a web page. This is going to be a difficult example to explain since we're talking about this, but let me try to describe. Imagine, in your mind's eye, a sentence that reads like this. Jewelry catalog, colon, followed by rings, colon, followed by diamond rings, colon, followed by Tacoria Platinum 18K. Again, that's jewelry catalog, colon, rings, colon, diamond rings, colon, Tacoria Platinum 18K. This would indicate that you are viewing a Tacoria Platinum 18K gold ring, which was found in the diamond rings subsection of the rings product category in your main jewelry catalog. This example shows the different levels of pages separated by a colon, but you also will find it represented by arrows, slashes, or some other character. Our next vocabulary term is CAPTCHA, spelt capital CAPTCHA. Although pronounced as the word CAPTCHA, it's actually a contrived acronym for Completely Automated Public Turing Test to Tell Computers and Humans Apart. This term was first conceived by four professors at Carnegie Mellon University in the year 2000 as a way to combat bots that were attacking website forms. Commonplace attacks on every website include a bot filling out your Contact Us form and sending you pornographic information or trying to sell you Viagra or just random garbage characters. Whenever you get random garbage through your contact form, it's usually because the bot was attempting to do something bad to your website. The only way to fight attacks from a bot is to make sure the user prove that they are human using a CAPTCHA technique. Typically, the CAPTCHA presents itself as a cluster of characters, numbers, or words that we can read on the screen, but a computer cannot. If the wrong CAPTCHA code is entered, the form will not submit, thus preventing unwanted pornographic information from getting to you, but more importantly, from preventing something bad happening to your website through hacking. Our next vocabulary term is cloaking. I'm mentioning this here because you might hear the term from other people. You have to be savvier than most to pull this off. Cloaking is a way to make someone see a version of your website while at the same time forcing another person to view something completely different. Usually this is done by some black hat experts to hide a real website from Google while letting everyone else see the true content. That sounds a little obscure, so let's see some examples. Let's say you wanted to hide your website from the other jewelry store in your zip code. You could use some internet investigative method to discover the settings for that store's internet connection and then redirect them to a totally different website. You might be tempted to use this cloaking technique on your competition if they are always taking your ideas, but don't. Cloaking is black hat and most often used by pornographic websites. If you use that technique, you will eventually get caught or your competitor will report you to Google. You will get kicked out of the search engines once Google finds out. Our next term is comment spam. This vocabulary term refers back to blogging. Every time you post a new article in your blog, someone is able to comment it. In fact, you should invite the comments. The more people comment, the more active your blog will be because comments show new readers that your blog is actually worth reading. However, there's a drawback to blog comments, and they are known as comment spam. This is when a bot, yes, there's that nasty bot again, or some person finds your blog and posts a useless comment unrelated to your article. Let's say you just posted an article about the latest Tacoria designs. Comment spam would be someone who then inserts a comment saying, "That's a great article. I sell Tacoria rings at www.mytacoria.com. Obviously, that type of comment is promoting some other website. Another type of spam is when somebody simply posts, thanks for the info, John Smith at www.johnsmith.com. This type of spam is intended to trick people to click from your blog to their website. All comment forms should have a CAPTCHA to prevent bot comment spamming, but you should also review and delete comments if you find them to be useless. This concludes part 1 of Learning the Basics, Lesson 2, Website Vocabulary. We have completed 21 pages of the 62-page lesson. Please continue with the part 2 recording, which picks up on page 22 with the vocabulary term content. For the latest information on the Jeweler Website Advisory Group, please visit www.jwag.biz. That's www.jwag.biz. This is Matthew Perosi. I'll see you next time.